Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to everyone who is watching with us today. The name of the message today is called Yeshua Wept. Yeshua Wept. I want to start in John 11, in verse 31. And of course, this is the story of Lazarus being resurrected. And it says, then the Jews who were in her house, talking about the sister of Lazarus, and consoling her, seeing that Miriam quickly rose up and went out, they followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb, so she may weep there. Then Miriam, when she came where Yeshua was, seeing him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Master, if you were here, my brother would not have died. And Yeshua, when he saw her weeping and the Jews, those who had come with her, who were weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was moved in his soul. And he said, where have you put him? And they said, Master, come and see. Yeshua wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, was this one the one opening the eyes of the blind, not able to have caused that this one should not die? Then again, groaning within himself. So he's not groaning because of mourning, because he knows he's going to raise Lazarus. He's groaning because of their lack of belief. Then groaning again within himself, Yeshua came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone was placed upon the entrance. And Yeshua said, take this stone away. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, my master, it is the fourth day, he stinks already. Yeshua said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of Yahweh? Then he took away the stone where the dead one was laid, and Yeshua lifted his eyes up toward the Father, lifted his eyes upward, and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd that stands here, I said it that they might believe that you sent me. And saying these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And that dead man came out while his hands and his feet were bound in bandages and his face bound in a headcloth. Yeshua said to them, untie him and allow him to go. So, again, verse 35. The shortest verse in the Bible, Yeshua wept. And many people think that when you read this, they're thinking that Yeshua is mourning. You know, like he's weeping because he's seeing the other people weeping. And, you know, he's feeling sorrow for them. But logic will just tell you, if you just think about it, that he knows he's going to raise Lazarus. So he wouldn't be weeping like that. And each time they're saying, you know, he raised others. Couldn't he help him? He's groaning in his spirit. And he's doing it for their lack of belief. And then, right before he does it, even when he's telling the Father, he knows the Father always hears him, so he doesn't have to say it. But he's saying, for the crowd, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd that stands, I said it that they might believe you sent me. So the point of it is, here is Yeshua saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And yet he's right there in front of them, and they're mourning. I mean, it's almost inconceivable to think about, you know, like the lack of unbelief that's there at that time. And that's why Yeshua is grieving. He's grieving because of their lack of faith. Luke 13, 34 and 35. We see Yeshua grieving again here over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one killing the prophets and stoning those having been sent to her. How often I desire to gather your children in a way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you did not want it. Behold, your house is left to you desolate, and truly I say to you, you shall not at all see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. So we see different times in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, where Yeshua is grieved over the lack of unbelief. And, you know, I think to myself sometimes, boy, it would have been wonderful, it would have been awesome to be alive at that time, to spend one day with Yeshua, to be there sitting at his feet during the Sermon on the Mount. And yet, at the same rate, I think to myself, would I have believed? I don't know. You know, it's a rhetorical question because, you know, I wasn't alive at that time and wasn't there. But maybe I wouldn't have. You know, most people didn't believe at that time. And to think that the eternal creator of the universe, he has no beginning, he has no end, he lived forever with Yahweh in whatever, you know, state. It wasn't matter. It wasn't, you know, material things. The earth and these things weren't here. But he had no beginning and no end. And to come to this earth and just be here for those few short years, you know, and like I said, just to hear anything he would have had to say. And yet so many times the people didn't believe, they didn't know who he was. Even his disciples, when he's asking them, you know, who do men say me to be? But who do you say me to be? And it was Peter who was the one who came out and said, you are the son of Yahweh. So we see this is why Yeshua at times was grieved, you know, that even when he's there, you know, today we understand him, we feel him in our spirit, we read him in the Bible, but he's not physically, he's not before us, that we physically are with him and physically seeing him. And yet at that time they actually were with him and still they didn't believe. Matthew 17. And verse 14 through 20. Matthew 17, verse 14 through 20. And they having come forward, the crowd, a man came near to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Master, pity my son, for he has a demon and is afflicted, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they were not able to heal him. And answering, Yeshua said, Oh, faithless and crooked generation, until when shall I be with you? Until when shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. So over here, he's even frustrated. You know, he's even frustrated. And Yeshua rebuked it, and the demon came out from him, and the boy was healed from that moment. Then coming up to Yeshua privately, the disciples say, Why were we not able to cast him out? And listen what Yeshua says. Yeshua said to them, Because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief, for truly I say to you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, it's a tiny, tiny little grain, if you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and not a thing shall prevail over you, right? So he's saying, that's why he's frustrated, because they were with him. They're seeing the miracles. They're seeing the healings. They're seeing him walk on water, everything that he did, raising the dead. And still, there was a lack of faith that was there with the disciples. And even after he's resurrected, remember Thomas, what is he saying? Until I put my hands in his side, you know, I will not believe it. So this is why Yeshua wept. He wept for their lack of faith in not believing him. And without faith, we have nothing. You cannot enter the kingdom without faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, But without faith, it is impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And of course, this makes so much sense. Why should Yahweh, like it talks about, that the person who is lacking in faith, and talks about this in the Jacob chapter 1, I'm not going to go there, but he says, we'll gain nothing, right? So we can't ask Yahweh in a hope. We can't ask Yahweh, you know, pray to him and ask him for healing or ask him for this, you know, in a hope, like, oh, I hope he hears me, I hope he does it. If you don't even believe, if you don't believe 100% that he is there, you know, that he really exists, you know, and here, human beings, right? There's human beings that even doubt, is there an Elohim? There's atheists, right, that say there is no Elohim, you know. And here it is, human beings that are made out of mud and water, right? And they have these few days on this earth, you know, about maybe 1,000 months if they're lucky, right? 60, 70, 80 years. And then everyone goes to the ground, goes to dust to order, dust you shall return. And yet they doubt the eternal creator that's there forever, that's always been there. And unless you believe it with all your heart, you're never going to, number one, you're never going to get anything from Yahweh, but you're never going to get anything in your life. You'll never have a relationship unless you believe that. Luke 18 and verse 8, and it's part of the times we're living in today. Luke 18 and verse 8. I say to you that he shall do their vengeance quickly. Nevertheless, the Son of Man will indeed come, and will he find faith on earth? You know, and the answer, it's a rhetorical question. No. In the time we're living in this end time commercial Babylon, in this fake system that's out there, and it's only gotten so bad. It's been fake, you know, for the longest time, but in the era of internet and Prince of the Power of the Airwaves, with all these things that people are conditioned to, all this facade 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, That's why there is no faith, little faith, you know, very little faith. I shouldn't say no faith, because the people of Yahweh, the first fruits, do have faith. But we want to make sure that we really do believe. So there will be little faith in the end time Laodicean era, right? The Laodiceans are ruled by the people. Luke 13, verse 23 and 24. And this is why, like I've said this many times, that this generation we're living in now, and it's ironic because we're compared to the paralleling the wilderness, right? This is the second wilderness. And yet when we look in the wilderness, how many people made it to the promised land? Only two that were 20 and above. Only two. You know, out of close to around probably 2 million people, only two 20 and above made it into the promised land. So we're living, we're paralleling that. And in this generation, like I said, more people will be lost in this generation than ever. And that's why you can't have your conviction, you can't have your mind, you can't have your belief system in commercial Babylon. That cannot be, you can't trust in, you know, a job, in mammon, and paying the rent. You have to do those things, but you can't trust in them. Because if you trust in them, you'll never have faith in Yahweh. Because it's something, you know, that will overtake you. You know, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And that will be your reality. Your reality will be, you know, your job and paying your rent and, you know, paying the electric bill and all those other things. And as I said before, you know, some people have more faith in the owner of the electric company than they do in Yahweh. What do I mean? Well, if you get a bill in the mail and you open that up and it's red letters and says, if you don't pay this bill by this date, your electric is getting shut off, you know, come hook or crook, you're going to be there and get down there by that date and pay it. So you're showing more faith in the owner of the electric company that he will perform what he's going to do. And I've asked a lot of people, hey, who's the owner of the electric company? I don't know. I never met one person who knew the owner of their electric company, knew his name, you know. But yet they'll trust that he's going to perform and turn off that electric on that date. And yet when we look what Yahweh says he's going to perform, we doubt. So this is really serious. But Luke 13, 23 and 24. And a man asked him, Master, the ones being saved few. But Yeshua said to him, labor to enter in through the narrow gate, right? The road is narrow, constricted. For I say to you that many will seek to enter and will not have strength. They will not have strength, spiritual strength and physical strength. Because you know what? Living in commercial Babylon does wear you out. It wears you out. Frustration, worry, you know, fear. These are things that wear people out. So that's why the stakes are so high, and that's why a message like this is so important. Because what I want to do today is I want to give the three main reasons why people lack faith in the end time. And to help you to overcome and to have that faith that you're going to need. And like I said, it's something you have to do every day of your life. You know, repetition is the mother of skill. You have to do it over and over and over again, and you have to prepare. It's not something that's just going to happen. It's something that you have to make happen and you have to pray about. But I want to go into, like I said, these three main reasons that can help you to overcome so that you will have the faith to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. The first one is fear. The first reason why people lack faith is fear, because fear is the total opposite of faith, the exact opposite of it. 1 John 4, 17 and 18. 1 John 4, 17 and 18 says, by this love has been perfected with us, that we have confidence in the day of judgment, that as he is, we are also in the world. There is no fear in love, right? But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment and the one fearing has not been perfected in love. Perfect love casts out fear, and Yahweh is love, and that's what we should be becoming. We should be becoming love. It shouldn't just be a feeling, but it should be us. It should be what we are, what we become, the same way that Yahweh is love. So, like I said, fear is the opposite, and the present system, like I said, of commercial Babylon, it brings fear and torment. It does in people's lives, because most people, you know, don't fulfill their potential. They're not so, quote unquote, successful in this world. And they do have a lot of fear in their life. And we have to reframe it, you know. We have to reframe our fears, how we look at things, you know. Like I said, everything people do is basically for two reasons, either to gain pleasure or to avoid pain, and the human mind will work 100 times harder to avoid pain than to gain pleasure. So we do have to reframe things, but commercial Babylon is meant to give you fear. Satan is the Elohim of fear. That's why everything in Satan's world is a facade. And it's amazing how it is now, you know, the last facade that's coming is the artificial intelligence. And everyone thinks it's the best thing, you know, next to sliced bread, you know, oh, artificial intelligence. And people have robots in their house that'll be doing the laundry, you know, and doing all this stuff for you and all the housework. And yet, when you look at artificial intelligence, all it is a facade of the Spirit of Yahweh. The Spirit of Yahweh, the human mind, is the most amazing computer, better than any supercomputer that man can ever make, how it works and what it does in the capacity of the human mind. So Satan is just a counterfeiter, and that's all commercial Babylon is. And that's why, like I said, one way to overcome fear is to analyze it and face it head on. And to realize, like I say, most 90% of all fears never come about. So we can't be putting these things in our mind and dwelling on things that aren't true, right? So like I said, there's a knock on the door and your mind is either thinking, oh, wow, here's somebody maybe I can help, you know? Here's somebody that maybe a friend is coming to visit, or your mind might be, oh, maybe someone's coming to rob my house. So how does your mind think? Is it thinking in fear or is it thinking in love? And they are the opposite of each other. And like I said, commercial Babylon is meant to give you fear. Losing your job, losing money, losing health, whatever it is, commercial Babylon is just here to give you fear. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. Says, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So what we need is, we need fear of Yahweh. That's the only real fear we should have in our life, because that fear will lead to wisdom, it will lead to relationship, and it will lead to love. So we, you know, if you don't fear Yahweh, and part of fear is respect, it's not just fearing, but it's part of it is fearing, because like it says, fear not man who can take your body and kill it and put it in the ground, but fear the one who could take your body and your soul and destroy it in the lake of fire. So we want to fear Yahweh because he's the only one who can take our eternal life away from us. But as you grow older, you know, and you, let's say, grow mature into the faith, that fear should turn into love and a relationship. And it's, we can relate to that with children. When children are younger, you know, they may fear their parents and fear being disobedient, of getting punished or maybe getting spanked or whatever it's going to be. But as you get older and your parents are getting older, you still fear and respect your parents, but you're not fearing it in that sense that they can do something that can harm you. You're fearing them out of love. You're respecting them out of love. So the only fear, like I said, we should have is the fear of Yahweh, and that will lead to faith. That will definitely lead to faith in him and trust in him. And it's something that's built over time. Number two, the second thing, reason why people lack faith is pride. Pride, human nature. People's human nature, they don't want to trust in anybody. They don't want to rely on anybody. And that's why even sometimes in the congregation, I've met people at times that will, they have a good heart and they'll help and they'll give, but they won't take anything. And sometimes it's just because they might not need it. I get that. I was like that when I was younger. I didn't need it. I didn't want to take it until I realized I would, by not taking it, I'm taking somebody else's blessing away. And now I'll take anything. Anything you give me, if I don't need it, I'll give it to somebody else. But I don't want to take your blessing. But some people, the reason why they don't want to take it is because they don't want to feel that they owe you something back. So they'll give and they'll help and whatever, but they don't want to feel they owe something. And if that's pride. And if you have that spirit, you'll never have faith. Because faith is, you, part of faith is trusting in Yahweh. And if you're not able to receive from him, then you're never going to have faith and trust in him. And sometimes it's very subtle. And I know, like I've told this before, when I was younger and a new believer, you know, I mean, I gave 100% to myself served in the congregation, you know, did everything in the congregation, never missed a service, never missed a Bible study. I loved it. I loved every part of it. But it wasn't until I lost everything that, and I had to rely on Yahweh, that I realized when I first came to faith and I had a lot of money and I had a house and I had these things, I wasn't relying on Yahweh. I never prayed and had to trust in Him to give me food or pay my bill because I did it myself. You know, and every month I'm just writing checks out for myself. And it wasn't until it was all taken away that I realized, wow, I really don't have any faith. But it helped me to build the faith from that point. So we want to make sure that pride is not stopping us. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. It says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And, you know, the one thing that helped me when I was a young believer overcoming my pride was actually it was a selfish reason that I realized if I keep this way, I'm only hurting myself. And I didn't want to hurt myself. So I in my mind, I'm saying to myself, hey, if I don't overcome this, I'm the only person that's going to get hurt. And unfortunately, for some people, they don't care. They have so much pride. They want to block that out, the consequences, what it's going to do in their life. But there's no way that you're not going to fall if you don't get rid of that pride. So you want to make sure, that you're losing that pride. And the only way is surrender to Yahweh. There's no way. You have to trust Him. You have to surrender to Him. You have to, allow Him to be your provider in your life. And you have to need Him. You have to need His Spirit. You have to need these things. And if not, you'll never overcome the pride. Proverbs 13 and verse 10 says, arguing only comes by pride, but wisdom is with those who take advice. And there's some people that just, they got to get in the last word. You know, they got to get in the last word. Their pride will not allow them. And unfortunately, right now, you know, you look at the president of the United States, Donald Trump. Wow, you want to see pride. That's somebody there that he admits he'll never, ever, ever admit that he's wrong. And I remember several years ago when he was first running for president, the first time in 2016, that he was with some pastor, you know, being interviewed or something. And they asked him, have you ever prayed for forgiveness? And he said, no, that's a sign of weakness. And it's like, wow, that means you're not forgiven. But we're going to see the sign of weakness on Judgment Day for somebody who hasn't had their sins forgiven. So you don't want to be like that. You don't want to feel like you have to get the last word. Because you know what? It doesn't make you feel good anyway. It's the pride that you don't want to look bad in front of people. And you want to know something? You actually look the worst. Because people know it. Just like with President Trump. People see that. So in his mind, he's kidding himself, thinking, oh, everybody thinks I'm great and everybody loves. But it's the opposite. Most people don't want to be like him, and most people see that he is a fraud because of what he's doing. So you don't want to be like that. You don't want to put these things in your mind for your pride, to appease your pride, which is demonic. And in reality, you're looking terrible in front of everybody. So pride stops people from listening to sound advice, and pride stops people from repentance. Proverbs 9 and verse 8. Proverbs 9 and verse 8. Do not reprove a scorner that he not hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you, right? So the people of Yahweh with His Spirit, when somebody gives you good, positive correction, right? You love it. You want it because you want to change. It's a good thing. You're not prideful. You're not, oh, who does he think he is? No, you thank that person. You know, and I think the people in my life, the people I got the closest with were the people that actually loved me enough to tell me correction that helped me to change to be a better person. So like it says here, do not rebuke a scorner because he's going to hate you. The prideful person, the littlest thing that you can tell them to help them, even if you say it in the mildest mannered way, even if you compare it to yourself, you know, well, you know, with me, they will be so offended because they don't want correction. But rebuke a wise man and he will love you. So you don't want to be that way. You don't want to be somebody that will not take correction because you'll never change. You'll never change, and in the end, you're only hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. Proverbs 15 and verse 10. Proverbs 15 and verse 10. Correction is grievance to him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof shall die. And there's people that will even leave the congregation. They leave the faith over a simple correction of something that they were doing wrong, that they were offended at, you know, that they were told. So correction is grievance to him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof shall die. So the beginning of repentance is correction. A disciple needs to be disciplined. You know, we discipline our children, right? We correct them. And a disciple needs to be disciplined. That's where the word disciple comes from. You need to have discipline in your life, and you need to be disciplined. You need to be corrected if you're going to be a disciple and if you're going to get repentance. And without repentance, you'll never receive the Holy Spirit. Like I said, if people are not repented, they're simply getting wet, you know? And that's the change of life. The change of life can't really come without the Ruach HaKodesh, without Yahweh's Spirit. So we want to make sure that pride is not stopping us. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. Proverbs 11 and verse 2 says, pride comes, then shame comes, but with the humble is wisdom. Pride comes and then shame comes. So, you know, I say this a while back. There was somebody in the congregation that, you know, didn't really have control of his spirit, and he had some anger problems. And he'd say things, you know, and then he would always come later, you know, a week later, a day later, whatever. But he'd come and he'd apologize in front of the congregation and say, I'm sorry that I did this, or I'm sorry I did this. And I thought to myself, you know, well, and actually told the person, it's great that you're seeing where you went wrong and you're repenting and you're apologizing. But wouldn't it be better if you just didn't say it to begin with? Like if that happened once or twice, then that's a good thing, you're changing. But if you're doing it every week anyway, and you're continually not to have control of your spirit, and you're doing the same thing, then what's the point of it, right? So that's the point. Pride comes, then shame comes. So when you have pride, you're going to be shamed, because you're going to say stupid things and do stupid things and make mistakes. So we must be humble to change, and we have to trust in Yahweh. It's that simple. We have to trust in Yahweh. So trust and faith is, when you have pride, it's very hard to have it. And number three, the third thing that stops people from having faith in the end time is basically just the human nature, selfishness. You know, too much love of self. And when you have love of self, you'll never have faith. Because you know what your faith is in? Your faith is in you. That's pretty much it. And I see that because even a lot of times, you know, through the years in the Laodicean era, ruled by the people, you know, over and over and over again, I've met people that, I'll never follow a man, you know. And yet people that say that, because everyone follows something. There's nobody out there that's not following anything. Everybody is following something. And the people that say they'll never follow a man, you know what they're following? They're following themselves, and they're following Satan. So that's Satan talking when he says, I'll never follow a man. You know why? Yeshua was a man. Yeshua was a man. He was 100% a man when he was on the earth. And there's nobody that's going to tell me, oh yeah, no, I believe in Yeshua, and I would follow Yeshua, that says I'll never follow a man. And that if they were alive in 29 AD when Yeshua walked this earth, who he was a human being claiming to be Elohim, that they would have bowed down and worshipped him as a human being, as a man. They're lying to themselves. And that's what people do. That's why selfishness and pride makes you lie to yourself. It absolutely makes you lie to yourself. But this is the thing that will stop people just being selfish. And like I said, everyone's following somebody. And the people that say, I'll never follow man, who they're following is themselves. And that's where that leads to. 1 John 3, verse 16 through 18. So selfishness stops us from having true faith. 1 John 3, 16 through 18 says, by this we have known his love toward us, because that one laid down his life for us, talking about Yeshua. And on behalf of the brethren, we ought to lay down our lives, right? And that's the way you get rid of selfishness, by praying for the brethren, by helping the brethren, by serving the brethren, by serving people other than yourself. But whoever has worldly possessions and sees his brother in need and shuts up his mercy from him, how is the love of Elohim in him? My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and truth, right? So, for the person who comes to the door, and he's hungry, and he needs food, and you say, oh, I'll pray for you, brother. You know, that's not doing it. That's not filling the belly. Filling the belly is giving him either the money to buy the food or the food itself. And that's why it says here, we have to make sure that we're not just loving in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. Indeed and in truth. So selfishness, which is worldliness, selfish person is totally worldly. Too much love of self and not wanting to surrender to Yahweh, because that's the key. Surrender gets your mind off yourself, and it gets your mind on serving Yahweh another. Galatians 5 in verse 25. Galatians 5 and verse 25 says, let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. Praise Yahweh. So that's what we want to do. We want to surrender to the Spirit of Yahweh. We don't want to just be serving ourselves and doing what's pleasing to ourselves, because our human nature is evil. It's corrupt. And if you're not surrendering to Yahweh, then you're just selfishly following whatever is best for you. So, you know, it's like someone will come and say, oh, you know, you want to come do this? And your mind, without even you thinking about it, your mind is subconsciously thinking, can I benefit from this? No? Oh, no, I'll skip. That's what your mind does. That's human nature. Human nature is evil. Human nature is what's going to do what's best for you, period. And that's why you got to fight that human nature, and you got to kill that human nature. You got to get rid of it. And the way to get rid of it is by surrender, by surrendering to Yahweh. When we surrender to Yahweh, that's the way we destroy the human nature. Matthew 26 and verse 39. And like I said, when Yeshua was on the earth, he was a man. And this is what he said. And going forward a little, he, Yeshua, fell on his face, praying and saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, right? The fourth cup, the cup of salvation, the cup of martyrism that he was ready to take. Yet not as I will, but as you will. So yeah, as a human being with human nature, he's asking the Father, you know, is there another way we can do this? But he knows the answer. And then he says, not as my will, but as your will. Yeshua always 100% did the will of the Father. He never thought about his own will or what he wanted, or, you know, he always did the will of the Father in the end. Philippians 2 in verse 2, we will never have true faith if we don't surrender our will to Yahweh. That is evident. And this is what the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Ruach HaKodesh, tells us the way we should be. Philippians 2, verse 2 through 5. He says, complete my joy by being in one accord, in one love, one soul, one mind, right? Living in community, living in kibbutz. That's what he's saying here. And unfortunately, like I said, we only have about 10% of our brethren living in community. Most of them don't, and some can't for different reasons, but a lot of them can and are choosing not to. Why? Because of this right here. And it is easier, right? It's easier not living in community. It's easier just serving yourself. It's easier, you know, doing whatever you want to do and not being committed to anything. But in the end, it's not going to bring you into the kingdom of Yahweh. So it's not taking the easy route. I've known that from the day I came into the faith. And I purposely in my life, when I could have taken the easy route at times, didn't for that reason. Because I knew once I start taking the easy road, it will feed on itself, and then I'll never get back. You know, it's the same way of why not taking a day off. You know, why would, like, sometimes, you know, like, you take a day off, or people, you know, they'll take a vacation for a week or 2 weeks, something. Not that there's anything wrong with it if they work all year. But the point why I don't like to do that is I don't want to get out of my routine. Because once you get out of it, it's that much harder to get into it. Same with exercising. Once you exercise all the time, your body is used to it, you're walking and you could do more. Once you stop it for a while, and you may have to, maybe you're sick, maybe you're traveling, whatever, you know it's that much harder to get back into it. So you want to make sure, you know, community living, that is the key that will help you get rid of selfishness, because you can't be. You'll be exposed, same with pride, and that's one reason some people don't want to live in community. They don't want to be exposed. But the best thing to do is, like we said, be exposed and change. You know, you don't have to stay that way. Complete my joy by being in one accord, one love, one soul, one mind, doing nothing according to strife or self-glory, but in humility let each regard his neighbor as better than himself, right? And that's the point with pride. Pride is a false self-worth that makes you think you're better than somebody, when in reality, none of us are. We're not better than anybody. So, and pride will lead to selfishness. So they're kind of connected in together. So doing nothing according to strife or self-glory, but in humility, let each regard his neighbor as better than himself. Let no one be mindful only of his own things, but let each one also be mindful of the things of his neighbor. For think this within you, which mind was also in Messiah Yeshua. That was the mind that was in Yeshua. That was the mind that he had, caring for others more than himself. So by submitting, caring, and loving each other, you lose your own self-interest. You know, that's the way to do it. You got to get your mind on others. Jeremiah 17 in verse 9. Jeremiah 17 in verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. It is incurable. Some translations say desperately wicked, right? But it's incurable, the heart. Who can know it? So that's why I tell people, sometimes when new people, when I'm talking with them, and, you know, you're talking about whatever, about doctrine or whatever, and I mean, 100 times I've had people tell me, well, you know, my heart says this, you know, in my heart I feel this way. And the first thing I do is show them the scripture. The heart is wicked and deceitful and incurable. So never go by your heart, because that's the way your heart is. You want to go by the Spirit. You want the Spirit of Yahweh. You want the Ruach, you know, not your heart. So our human nature is evil. And some people are deceived and they think they're good. In reality, they're not. So there's people that actually will give, you know, like I said, they give $2 million to build a, you know, a wing, a children's cancer wing onto the hospital. That's a good thing, a wonderful thing, but they want their name. This is the so-and-so cancer wing, you know, and they're doing it so that their name can be on there so they could be known. And that's why we have to question our motives, you know, that sometimes even when we do the right thing, it could be for the wrong reason. And we want to get rid of all selfishness, and that's the way to do it. Serve Yahweh's people, serve each other. But our human nature is evil. Romans 3 and verse 10. This is a scripture, you know, we read particularly at Passover time, but all year around, because it's important. You have to know the enemy if you're going to defeat him. And the enemy is you. The enemy is me. You know, you are your own worst enemy. Romans 3 and verse 10 says, as it has been written, there is none righteous, not even one. There's none righteous. And then it goes on, they all turned away, you know, their throats and is a tomb being opened, you know, they use deceit in their mouths. Drop down to verse 18. There is no fear of Elohim before their eyes, right? So this is what happens. Selfishness and pride will definitely stop the fear of Yahweh, you know, because they don't even think about it. They just block it out of their mind. But without the fear of Yahweh, like I said, that's the beginning of everything, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, beginning of relationship, beginning of repentance. But there is no fear of Elohim before their eyes, right? The prideful. But we know that whatever the Torah says, it speaks to those within the Torah, so that every mouth may be stopped and all the world be under judgment to Elohim. Because by works of the Torah, no one of all flesh will be justified, right? Why? Not that there's anything wrong with the Torah, because we all broke it. None of us kept it. So how can we be justified by something if we didn't do it? For through the Torah is the full knowledge of sin. But now a righteousness of Elohim has been revealed apart from the Torah, being witnessed by the Torah and the prophets, right? And that's a righteousness of faith. Even the righteousness of Elohim through the faith of Yeshua Messiah toward everyone and upon all those believing. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. So, wow. This is what's showing us that, yes, in the first covenant, it really was a covenant of death. Why? Because nobody could keep it. The Torah is righteous and the Torah is good and the Torah is just. But I'm a sinner sold under sin, like the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7. So none of us can claim eternal life by our works. Our works brought us death because all of us have sinned. But that's what we say. Now there's a righteousness, though, by believing in faith that Yeshua did die for your sins, and believing 100% in his sacrifice, and that when he's on that tree of crucifixion, he's there for you. You should be on there. I should be on there. Yet he took it in our place. So that's the faith we need to get into the kingdom. And like I said, fear, pride, and selfishness will stop it. Those are the three things that are going to stop it, because human nature is selfish, covetousness, and lacks the discipline for change. And that's why there's no other way. There's no other way to humble except humbling yourself, repenting, and asking Yahweh for His Spirit in us. That's the only way we can overcome. And even then, as long as we're in a human body, we will never be perfect. We're always going to still have some sin in our life. And praise Yahweh, that's why our faith in Him, to believe that when we do slip up or we do fall, that Yeshua's sacrifice that He made for us will cover whatever sin it is at that time. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 says, "For Yahweh did not give a spirit of cowardness to us, but of power and love and good discipline." And that's why I say it's not just something that's going to happen. You have to work on it. Yes, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of Yahweh, can make it happen, but we still have free will. Yahweh doesn't possess you. Yahweh guides and leads you, and you have to do something. And that's why you've got to be committed. You have to be committed to it. You know, you need to have that sense of commitment, and you got to do it every day of your life. Write it down. Have a goal. Look at it. Don't just hope, you know, because people that just hope, and time goes by and then they die and they never overcame. So we need to be overcomers in the end. And we want to make sure that we are doing that. So Yahweh didn't give us a spirit of cowardness, but of power and love and good discipline. And we have to perform that in our lives. Faith by the Ruach HaKodesh goes against everything that your human nature tells you. And that's why many are called fewer chosen, right? Why? And fewer are faithful. Because most people that get conviction by the Ruach, you know, it isn't in them, but it's guiding them, and they get convicted. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're thinking, wow, I never heard anything like this. Wow, this is true. And then, you know, you counsel with them, you talk with them, they're new, and then you find out, well, you are going to have to give your job up if it's on, makes you work on Saturday. And because they're lacking in faith, and because they're new, and because they're so conditioned by commercial Babylon, they don't have the faith to do it. And they wind up walking away, just like the rich man that said, "Master, I'll come follow you, you know, whatever it is." And what did he say? "Give everything up and, you know, and come follow me." And the rich man turned away with his head down and walked away because he didn't have the faith to do it. And that's why we have to do it every day. We can't be waiting for some kind of thing to happen. It's not going to happen that way. It's going to happen little by little, day by day, and you're going to build that faith inch by inch, you know, minute by minute, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. But you have to have that discipline in your life to do it. And you got to come out of the system. As long as you are in the system, it's never been worse than it is now. It's virtually impossible to have that faith because you can't serve two masters. And you're either going to serve Yahweh in faith or you're going to serve Satan in the system of commercial Babylon. It's one or the other. But like it says in Matthew 6, you can't. You can't serve two. You either love the one and hate the other or be obedient to the one and despise the other. You know? So you can't serve Yahweh and commercial Babylon and Mammon. 2 Corinthians 6 in verse 15. 2 Corinthians 6, in verse 15. It says, "What agreement does the Messiah have with Satan?" Right? There's one or the other, you know? And that's why I say, I'll never follow man. No, yes, you are. You're following Satan. It's one or the other. There's only two Elohim there, the true Elohim, Yahweh, and the God of this world, Satan. And you're following one or the other. Those are the only two choices. So what agreement does Messiah have with Satan? Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever, right? And what harmony has the sanctuary of Elohim with idols? And it is idolatry. Because in the system of commercial Babylon, you will put things before Yahweh, which is idolatry. "For you are the sanctuary of the living Elohim, even as it is said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people." Praise Yahweh. "Because of this, come out from among them and be separated, says Yahweh, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Right? The whole system is defiled. All of it, everything that's done there, it's evil, it's wicked. And of course, we're not going to go to the moon, so we're in the world, but we're not to be part of the world. We're in the world, but we're not to be part of the world. We have to come out of the system that's brainwashing people every single day. If not, that's why I say, man, you have one of those stupid phones, those iPhones, and you are you've lost half the battle because you're being conditioned by that every day. Physically, you're being conditioned by the internet that you're on and checking those things and sending text messages right and left. But you're also mentally being conditioned by the waves. You know, the waves that are coming from that phone that are affecting your brain day and night. You know, people even sleep with those things and sleep with them on. So you got to come out of that brainwashing. And the only way to do it is to abstain from it. You have to program your nervous system to make faith normal, right? This is a big part of what we do with the Bible School. You know, teaching people neural associations and helping them get rid of the bad ones and reprogram good neural associations. You have to program your nervous system to make faith normal and not fear like the world around you. And it is something you have to do, because your body, from doing that over and over and over, your body is conditioned in the wrong way. Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. That is why you need to come out of commercial Babylon. Your reality has to be scripture. It's got to be Yahweh, your relationship with him and Yeshua and his kingdom. Matthew 6:24, like I said, no one is able to serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or he will cleave to the one and despise the other. You're not able to serve Yahweh in wealth, Yahweh in mammon, you know, Yahweh in commercial Babylon. A lie of Satan is that you can serve both Yahweh and commercial Babylon, right? That's the lie of Satan. That's what he told Eve in the garden, right? You know, when she said, he comes and twists scripture. Didn't Yahweh say you could eat of every tree in the garden? And she says, no. He said, don't even go near that tree. Don't even touch it or you'll die. And what did he say? You will not die. So where does this immortal soul doctrine come from? It comes from Satan. It doesn't come from Yahweh. Yahweh says the soul that sins will die. Satan says, no, you won't. Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe Yahweh or you're going to believe Satan? It's a lie of Satan that you can serve both Yahweh and commercial Babylon. And you can't. Jacob 4 and verse 2, and here is the answer that we're talking about. This is the answer. He says, you covet and you do not have. You murder and are jealous and you're not able to possess, right? So like I said, it never leads to anything good. People want to kid themselves to make them think it does, but deep down they know it doesn't. They know it doesn't. You fight and you strive and you have nothing because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you do not ask sincerely. You ask in order that you may satisfy your lust, right? That's what I said. Selfishness. Doing it for the wrong reason. Adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity? It's hatred with Elohim? Whoever then purposes to be a friend of the world is an enemy to Elohim. Or do you think that vainly the scripture says the pride dwelling in us lusts with envy, right? So pride will lead not only to selfishness, but greed, envy, lust. But he gives greater grace. Praise Yahweh. That's the answer. He gives greater grace. Because of this, it says Yahweh sets himself against proud ones. We've read that. But he gives grace to humble ones. That's why you got to get rid of that pride. Because you will not have grace. He can't give you grace when you're filled with pride. He sets himself against proud ones, but gives grace to humble ones. Then submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I've said this before, the problem with many people is they introvert this. They try to resist the devil before submitting to Yahweh, and it will never work. That's why sometimes when I'm counseling with people and they say, I don't know why I'm doing the same thing over and over. You've got to first submit to Yahweh, and only then can you resist the devil. You can't do it on your own. Pride wants to, but you can't. Submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and then he's got to flee from you. He has no power. Satan cannot make you do anything. But what he does is he tricks you into giving him that power. And fear is a big part of it. Because once you have fear, you've lost your faith. And without faith, you're giving him the power to come into your life. So submit to Yahweh first, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to Elohim, and he will draw near to you, right? Yeah. If people say, I don't feel Elohim in my life right now, and like we say, who moved? Who moved? Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded ones, right? If you believe it, you've got to live it. You can't say you believe it and then do everything the opposite. Be distressed and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy into shame. Repentance. That's what true repentance is. Be humbled before Yahweh and he will exalt you, right? Let Yahweh be the one to exalt you, not man. We don't need praise from man, because what did Yeshua say? What's in man? And Believe me, I've learned in my life that the same people that will pat you on the back today are the same people that will be kicking you in the back the next day. You know, so you don't need any praise from man. You need only praise from Yahweh. Be humble before Yahweh and he will exalt you. He will exalt you. You have to consciously every day resist this system of Satan. And you cannot do this, you know, if you're on the internet all the time, you have a phone 24 hours a day, and you're connected 24/7 to the internet. It will never work. So we have to make sure we're resisting the system of Satan. You're not giving him opportunity to be programming you day and night. Mark 16, verse 14. Because the results, having faith in Yahweh, true faith is so powerful. And there'll be a work that will come. Like it talks about in Jacob 2, right? That some people say they have faith. Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. There will always be a deed with faith, because that's part of the definition of it. So look at what the result, look at what the deed is of true faith in Yahweh. Mark 16 and verse 14. And finally he appeared, Yeshua, to the 11 while they were reclining, and he reviled the lack of their faith, right? They still at that point, and the hardness of their heart, since those who had seen him, that he had risen, and they did not believe. Wow. Even then, some were not believing. And he said to them, going into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. That's the Great Commission, not only to them, not only to me, but to you, to all of us together. We all need to be part of this ministry. The one believing and being baptized will be saved, and the one not believing will be condemned. You know, he's condemning himself. And miraculous signs will follow, right? The deeds will follow. Those believing these things, they will cast out demons in my name. I've told the story many times, not just one demon, many times casting out demons. They will speak new languages, right? I've seen that, you know, in Israel. Girl that didn't speak a word of Hebrew started to talk to a soldier and witness, and fluent Hebrew came out of her mouth. They will take up snakes, and if they drink anything deadly, it will no way hurt them. We've seen it last year at the Bible school when Elder Pong got stung by the second most dangerous scorpion in the world. Was prayed over and boom, nothing happened. Elder Colang recently was bitten by a snake. Dangerous snake. Again, prayed for, nothing happened. So we are literally, and you know something? I don't know any congregation in the world that is seeing as many miracles as we're seeing in our congregation. Healings, all kinds of things. The next day we'll lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. I mean, really, it's all the time now, because the rock is growing. And as we're growing with that in this second outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh, you know, latter rain that's here, you're going to see things. And some will be miraculous like that, like miracles like we're seeing. And some are just little things in your life, like something that you're overcoming that you never were able to overcome before. But or your relationship with Yahweh and Yeshua being stronger and more meaningful than it ever was before. But these are the things, like it says, then indeed, after speaking with them, the Master Yeshua was taken up to heaven and sat off the right of Yahweh. And they went out and preached in all places, and our Master was helping them and establishing their words by the signs that they were doing. So he was establishing the words, right? Not just word in tongue, but deed in truth. He was establishing it by the miracles that were coming. And like I said, I've seen all these things, even the dead being raised. I've seen it in my life. Daniel 11 in verse 32. Daniel 11 and verse 32 says, and he will defile by flatteries those who do evil against the covenant, talking about the anti-Messiah, but the people who know their Elohim will be strong and will work. They will work. There'll be deeds. This is what we have to look forward to. Is it going to get worse in the days and months and few years before us? Absolutely. From a worldly sense, it's going to be the worst time the world has ever known or ever will know. But the people that know Elohim, the people that are walking in faith, we are going to see the greatest outpouring of faith and miracles that the world has ever seen. Like I said, now that the book of Revelation is not only open, but we're way into that book, we are going to see more angelic instances, because we need cherubs to help us, right? There's a lot of demonic instances too. So we need those cherubs to help, and we will see more and more of that. We already started seeing it, you know? But we are going to see much more in the days ahead. We must have faith, as the best is yet to come. This open door of preaching, though, it will close soon. But we need true faith in the underground congregation to make it into the kingdom of Yahweh. We have to have that faith. John 17, last scripture. John 17, in verse 6 to 9. John 17, he says, I revealed your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that everything that you have given to me, I have given to them, and they received them. And they know that I have truly proceeded from your presence, and they believe you have sent me. I pray concerning them. I do not pray concerning the world, but concerning the ones you gave to me, because they are yours. So this is what Yeshua is saying. Yeshua prayed for them, and he said not only them, but the ones that will come by them, which are us. And Yeshua is there for us. He is there to help us in our time of need. We have to rely on him. Like I said, we can't have fear. We have to get rid of our pride, and we got to get rid of our selfish motives, and we have to surrender to Yahweh and allow him to do this. So the name of this message was Yeshua Wept. And like I said, Yeshua wept not for Lazarus dying, but he wept for their lack of faith. The lack of faith of the people, but he also thanked Yahweh for the faith of the first fruits that he called. So that's why I wanted to start the message in John, where they were lacking the faith, and then end it over here, again in John, but John 17, not started with Lazarus, and then John 17, where Yeshua is thanking the Father for the ones he called and for the faith that they will have. And like I said, you don't get faith all at once. You must build upon it daily. Keep your focus on Yahweh and the kingdom. Ask Yahweh for faith. It's a gift. You have to seek it daily. And if you ask him for it, Yahweh will give it to you. So praise Yahweh. What a wonderful calling he's given us. I pray that all of us will build our faith day by day in him, and that we will endure until the end and make it into his kingdom. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.